Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Sunday evening for August 30th, 2020. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is the WWE Payback After Show here on Wrestling Night in America. Don't forget, anytime you want to reach me, you can find me on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. If you want to be a part of the show by emailing your thoughts about Payback, it's wnialivecast@gmail.com. If you want to call us up, 515-605-9345. I see four people already on hold. We're going to talk about Payback mostly, but I also do want to take some time later on in the show to preview AEW All Out, because that's taking place next Saturday night. And we are also going to take place next Saturday night after All Out. You can catch a special edition of Wrestling Night in America Saturday, September 5th, after All Out. That will replace our Sunday show for next week during a long Labor Day weekend. And so, we'll talk a little bit about that card later on in the show. But please don't forget, if you're used to tuning in live, or if you can't tune in live on Sundays, but you have Saturday night free after All Out, please make sure to tune in to Wrestling Night in America next Saturday night after All Out. And, of course, send us an email about the show if you're watching All Out and you can't be a part of Wrestling Night in America live. Tonight was a Payback. It was a head-scratcher for a lot of people that this show was even on the schedule 1 week after SummerSlam. That's not a move WWE has made all that often. But we were here nonetheless, and this was, by and large, a thumbs-up show with some big news, three title changes on this show, and also clean finishes basically up and down the card until you got to the main event. So it was very outside of WWE's booking norms, which was good to see coming on the heels of SummerSlam, where many of those finishes were clean or were done in a way that if there was interference or if there was something strange happening at the finish, it didn't make sense in the big picture. We start off, though, with the pre-show. The Riot Squad, consisting of Ruby Riot and Liv Morgan, defeated the Iconics, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. So possibly rearranging the deck chairs, if you will, in the women's tag team division with the match that was to happen later on in the show, the women's tag title match. The first match on the show was Bobby Lashley winning the United States Championship, defeating Apollo Crews in the opener. This was a good match. I would have preferred to see Crews go over. He's kind of still in the same spot he was at when he first won the United States title. I would have liked to have seen him this far into his run sort of use this match as a stepping stone to take another step up the ladder and to move away from the Hurt Business. He's been feuding with MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and Bobby Lashley, some incarnation of that group, for a long time now. I thought it would have been advantageous for him to beat Lashley here and then move on to someone else while sort of moving up the card and putting a big win under his belt here against Lashley. Given Apollo's post-match attack, it appears that his business with the Hurt Business may not be done. So this is one of those longer-term feuds, and it felt like, I will say this, as I'm hearing some thunder and just saw some lightning out my window, so if I lose connection here, because we're having an electrical storm here in Southwest Florida tonight, but Bobby Lashley, I can't fault the booking too much, because he is someone who could represent the United States title well. He is certainly deserving of a bigger push than he's gotten. I thought he really impressed in his challenge of Drew McIntyre for the WWE title. And, you know, I was a little disappointed to see him shunted down the card after that one opportunity. So, you know, sort of a bad news night for Apollo Crews, but if the trade-off is Bobby Lashley starts to look more and more like a monster and develop into something bigger than he has been over the last few weeks, I think that's also a good sign. The second match on the pay-per-view was Big E versus Sheamus, with Big E getting the victory. Obviously, he is now in the throes of a singles babyface push, So it's good to see him get a decisive victory over someone on the level of Sheamus. Sheamus is someone who is pretty Teflon. You know, he can bounce back from a loss like this. He's on the cusp of being that sort of legacy star in WWE who has been a main eventer. He's been in the title picture. He's been around for long enough, high enough on the card, where people will take him as a big enough deal no matter how many losses he endures. And Big E needed this one more if WWE is serious about a Big E. And I hope they are. And tonight seems to give the indication that they are. Match number three was Matt Riddle over King Corbin. This is another match that had a clean finish, Corbin taking the loss to Matt Riddle here. And what struck me about the early part of this show was you had Apollo Crews, albeit in a losing effort. You had Big E going over strong. You had Matt Riddle going over cleanly. These are three up-and-coming baby faces within the WWE ecosystem that were being spotlighted here. And so I kind of think to a year from now and where these guys might be. You know, are they all going to be top-of-the-card guys that we can point at this show as being sort of their coming-out party in certain ways? Or is this sort of a tease that we see with WWE sometimes and that good old 50-50 booking will rear its head again sooner rather than later? I don't know, but hopefully this is a sign of things to come for Cruz, Big E, and Riddle. Match number four was the Women's Tag Team Championship changing hands with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax defeating Bayley and Sasha Banks. And the story here was Baszler getting Bayley and Banks in her submission hold. She had a submission hold on both of them, and it was Bayley who tapped and Banks who didn't. So now Bayley has really cost Banks both of her titles while Bayley still has hers. There was not a lot of animosity after the match between these two former tag team champions. So we'll have to see what happens tomorrow night on Raw, what happens Friday night on SmackDown between these two. And Baszler and Jax getting the victory. Baszler, I think, has really settled into her role. A couple promos she's had against Jax the last couple of weeks I've really liked. And so I'm kind of interested to see where this goes, even though it is that sort of, you know, that tag team of folks who can't get along. So, you know, we'll have to see what comes of that and who their challengers are. They positioned, again, the Riot Squad in the pre-show as potentially taking a shot at the tag titles. Baszler and Jax, I don't know if WWE is going to play them up more as baby faces or as heels. That remains to be seen. Match number five, we talked about big baby faces going over. It happened here, too. Keith Lee getting the victory over Randy Orton cleanly in the middle of the ring. So, you know, people weren't happy with Lee's debut on Raw, going to a quick, you know, DQ with Randy Orton, but he gets the Duke here over Randy, and good on WWE for putting Lee over so strongly against such a major star in Randy Orton. And also compliments to Randy Orton. He helped make Keith Lee look like $1 million here, and I thought you know, he did what was necessary to help Lee look strong here. So another baby face. And so it's going to be, again, you lump Keith Lee in with Matt Riddle and Big E and Apollo Crews. And it'll be certainly interesting to track these guys. Match number six, Dominik and Rey Mysterio defeating Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy in what I thought was the match of the night. Pretty hands down. You know, for the flaws in the storytelling, for the flaws that Dominik has as an in-ring competitor, this soon into his run, the guy's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he really is. And, you know, sometimes he's going 120 miles an hour when all he needs to go is 65. And you know, he'll learn to reel that in, I'm sure. But he's just done a tremendous job over the last few weeks and months in this storyline. So, again, baby faces go over here. This just felt like a very happy, good time show. And then we get to the main event. And I have to do a little backtracking here because one of the things we talked about last week in our SummerSlam post was Roman Reigns' heel or face. And I looked at what Roman Reigns did and how he was portrayed at the end of SummerSlam, and I really took umbrage with those who were saying that he was being positioned as a heel. I didn't really see that. And then on Friday night on SmackDown, it's revealed that Reigns is in cahoots with Paul Heyman. And that pretty much clears it up. You know, you could sort of make the argument that maybe Heyman's playing a babyface here, but that's a really tough sell, I think. And then the demeanor of Roman Reigns, the way he won the match, using a low blow, even though it was no holds barred, you know, I get it. I get that Roman Reigns seems like a heel now. It's still hard for me to process that, I guess, and I'm still grasping at these straws that, okay, he's heel-ish, but maybe he's not going to be a full-on heel. You know, the idea of Roman Reigns after all this time, the idea of him actually being a heel is almost too much for me to comprehend. So, you know, we still yet to hear that promo from Reigns, from Heyman, that explains the new attitude that he's come back with. So I guess I'll reserve judgment until then. But Roman Reigns is your new Universal Champion. He defeated Braun Strowman and The Fiend in the main event here of Payback. Reigns did not sign the contract until halfway through the match, which is a whole other thing. And it leads us actually to our first email question. This is from Chris from Reading, Pennsylvania. And this is in all caps. You can't sign a contract to join a match that already started that you didn't show up for, can you? What are we even doing here? That's from Chris. Apparently you can do that. And to save a little bit of face, Corey Graves on commentary did say the ref was a little ahead of the game in starting the match before Roman Reigns was out there. So Graves sort of put the blame on the referee that he shouldn't have started the match until Reigns came out. Of course, he started the match because the contract on Reigns' end wasn't signed. So at that point, it was not a triple threat match. It was only a triple threat match halfway through when Reigns signed the contract. So your mileage may vary on this. It's something that we really haven't seen before, so maybe they get credit for creativity, but they did a very good job up and down this card of leaving the shenanigans off the show. Does that, in some people's minds, excuse what we saw in the main event? I don't know. It's going to vary from person to person. I'm sure we're going to hear when we get to the calls and some of the other emails what people thought of that. Obviously, from Chris in Reading, Pennsylvania, that the fact that the rest of the show was pretty clean up and down did not really seem to matter. Again, 515-605-9345 is the number to call. If you'd like to listen and hang out, that's fine. If you want to talk, make sure you press 1 on your dial pad. And, of course, WNIALivecast@gmail.com is where you can reach me for emails. So we'll go to the phones right now, and we'll kick things off with, and I remember this week, Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I hope this is Sean.
Great.
At the 615 area.
Greg, I love you, Greg.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much. It means the world to me. It does. It's cool. I like it. No, but it is me. How are you doing, Greg? Good to talk to you.
Good. Well, I'm just glad because you never know. I mean, people can call in from different area codes, and all I record is the area code. I don't record the whole number. So if this was somebody else from Tennessee, I was going to have a lot of egg on my face. But good to hear from you tonight, Sean.
No, it's good to talk to you. No, I thought it was a good show. I like what they did with Reigns because to me, it even though it was weird, but they did start it kind of early and they did all the stuff. They tried to make it as the best way they could. And I think he's a full out heel now. I really do. I'll wait till, like you said, till Friday just to make sure, you know, with him and Heyman, but I loved it. I love what he's doing now. It just brings life into him again. And right now, I'm okay with him winning the title and seeing where they go with it, what they do. I'm intrigued. I really am. I think they did a great job. I think he came out, you know, the heelish low blow. He pinned Strowman, which he should have, keep the Fiend strong. For right now, I liked it a lot. The Alexa storyline with the Fiend, I thought that was cool. Again, I wish they would stop having Alexa turn sideways, look at the TV. I still think that looks really stupid, but, you know, whatever. It was fine for what it was. I liked it all. What did you think about the Alexa thing? Do you like where they're going with that? Because I'm intrigued where they go with Alexa, too. I like where they're going with that.
Yeah, that's something I didn't mention in the rundown. Alexa Bliss was shown backstage watching on a monitor a couple times during the main event. This was after she on SmackDown was not herself in smashing the coffee mug that she had given to Nikki Cross. And she seemed a little out of it while she was twirling her hair, watching the match proceed from the backstage area. This was sort of a tease that she might get involved somehow, although she never did. But it is still a question of what role is she going to play going forward. Obviously, with the attitude change on SmackDown, with them putting her into the match, watching it backstage, that she's still going to play a part in the Fiend Braun Strowman stuff. But what part she plays, again, remains to be seen. She does seem to be under the spell of the Fiend. I don't know if Braun Strowman, Braun Strowman seems to be under a certain spell as well. You know, he's not that babyface character that he was before he went into the swamp. So does the Fiend, and that Fiend was going to be a heel. You know, you could see him collecting Braun Strowman and collecting Alexa Bliss and sort of having them under his spell as he goes after Roman Reigns. But if Reigns is a heel and there's all this talk about the Fiend being a babyface, how does that work? You know, so I don't think the Fiend as a character works as a babyface. So are they going to try that, with Roman Reigns? Reigns gets the pin over Braun Strowman tonight. So you've got Roman Reigns versus the Fiend, who lost the title without getting pinned. That seems to be the sensible direction that they go in. But, for as intrigued I am to see Roman Reigns as a heel, I'm really not at all intrigued to see the Fiend as a babyface. So it's going to be really interesting how they arrange that going forward.
Yeah, and that's the problem I do feel in a little bit, is because WWE's done such a bad job of storytelling in a lot of ways that it's like you kind of worry about where they end up going with this whole thing. And, like you said, I would be intrigued with the Fiend as a babyface, but at the same time, it is weird. He just totally seems like a heel in all the way he acts and the things he does. So it's like it is – I'm just intrigued to see where they go. It's a fresh thing that's different that I'm willing to see definitely where it goes. And so I like what they did tonight with that. And, Greg, I will have to disagree with you. I don't like where they're going with Shayna and Nia. I just don't. I just wanted Shayna to be a badass, initially a heel, just kick-ass champion and go somewhere with that character. And I just feel like they're just doing all this wishy-washy stuff with her. And she seems – I don't know. I just don't like where they're – it was fine because they won the title in the sense that they tried to keep the story going with Sasha and Bayley. I think the Sasha Bayley is in a really good spot right now. But I just, from the Shayna perspective, I just don't like where they're going with her. I mean, I'm willing to see where it goes, but I don't know. Her and Jax together, I don't like Nia, and I just, them together, I mean, they could do some damage. And there's no tag teams that are really credible. Like, the Riot Squad, to me, is not credible. I mean, I love Ruby and,
right,
Liv's got talent, but I don't see where they're going with that. And I don't know. I'm willing to give it time, but I just think Shayna could have been something really huge, and I think they've ruined that in a lot of ways. What do you think about that?
I think that I like to see Baszler in a more prominent position, sure. But this is also – what she's doing right now is also better than being off TV, which is what she was for 3 months. It's a little bit of the beggars can't be choosers type of feeling, but I would rather see her. And really, she got a big moment tonight. Submission move that she put on both Bayley and Banks to win the championship was a really cool visual. And I think it spoke to a lot of what Baszler brings to the table as an in-ring performer. And hopefully they can get a little more of that out of her as they go along. The stuff with Nia Jax, I get it. I'm not the biggest Nia Jax fan. The stuff about, the partners who can't get along, it's played out. I get that too. But I'm hoping that this is more of a stepping stone for something, whether it's Baszler and Jax eventually breaking up, Baszler goes over on her way up the card. I'm hoping it's more of a short-term thing than, okay, Baszler is going to be stuck in the women's tag division for the long term.
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about that. But there are two other quick things I was going to bring up. The first was with, I was with you. I love that they – I was – I'm so glad they put Keith Lee over Strong. They really needed to do that, and I was worried of where they were going. I felt good that they would have him go over, but I thought it would be a longer match, and I didn't know how strong he would look. But he – no, I'm glad they made him look super strong. I'm intrigued where they're going with that. That's – I mean, again, I wish they would keep – would have kept the music in from NXT. That music Ida has now, it does kind of suck. And I wish they would have gone with what they had. But, you know, it's fine. I like where they're going. And then the last thing was, you said the tag team match was really good with the Mysterios. I mean, Dominic's been really impressive in the ring. And just the only question I have is, where are they going with this ultimately? I mean, that's where I'm just like, I kind of wanted – I like – the matches have been good and they're – you know, but where the ultimately do you see this ending up? And that's – that was my last, like, main thing. But, Greg, thank you for all you do, man. Thank you for remembering me. I hope you always remember me from now on, and I appreciate you taking my calls always.
Sure. I hope I do, too, and I think I will. So thank you, Sean. I think that's a legitimate question is, you know, where does the Rey-Dominic stuff go? You know, especially if Dominic and I don't know, but if Dominic is not going to be a full-time wrestler, you know, how do they just sort of go away from him there? I'm not sure what the plan is. You know, I know back when Dominic was first introduced, and even as late as a couple weeks ago, there were some people thinking, oh, Dominic's going to turn heel and he's going to join Seth and Buddy Murphy. And I think we can kind of cross that out now. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know where they go. Is tonight the end? You know, tonight felt like it could have been the end of this feud with Rey and Dominic going over. Does Dominic go away and Rey go back in a singles feud with someone? Where does Rollins go from here? So in certain ways, it does feel like it's over. But in other ways, it didn't, you know, because I think that threat of Dominic hanging over everything, you know, he got the win tonight. So if he does go away for a while because he's not ready, quote unquote, for full-time action, how do you explain that when he got the pin in a tag match, you know? So I think Dominic is the key here, and what WWE has planned for Dominic, if they like what they've seen enough to bring him aboard full-time, at least while they're in Orlando running shows and they're not traveling as much, or, you know, was this just something to give Rey Mysterio a boost, a ploy to get Rey Mysterio back in the company with the contract negotiations that they had, which Rey did eventually re-sign. So I think Dominic holds the key here, and what WWE has for him in the future is really going to tell us based on where they go from here. So want to read another email here. This is from Roy from California, one of his emails that he sent in. This was from tonight. He says, "Hello, Greg. This is my second email while I'm watching Payback. Just wanted to say I enjoyed the pay-per-view from it being a weak build. Look forward to Raw and SmackDown for the fallout, as well as build toward Clash of Champions. Thanks." Yeah, that was sent, I think, before the main event or so, or just after the main event. So, you know, obviously that email sort of goes to what you're seeing a lot in social media, a lot of positive reaction to this. There was very low expectations, I think, so that may have played a part in people being pleasantly surprised by the quality of the show, you know, whether it's because of the one-week build or whatever the case may be, whether the people looked at the card and didn't think it was all that strong, had kind of set people up for low expectations. But I think it also goes to show you how satisfied people will be with a pay-per-view when you do clean finishes, which, again, up and down the card, this show featured. This was not a show heavy on four-star matches. The only one really probably approaching that was Dominic and Rey versus Seth and Murphy. So you had a lot of matches in that 2 3/4, 3.5-star range. And to give it as much of a thumbs up as we're seeing, I think just goes to show you people just – they want to be satisfied with the finishes. And they want – they don't want to be hit over the head with dumb booking. and real reaching for storytelling. So I think that's another part of the reason you're seeing a positive reaction to this. We now go to our next phone call. It's Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to Wrestling Night America. Curious your thoughts on Payback tonight.
How you doing tonight, Greg? And I think it was a pretty good show.
Yeah.
To me, I think the show itself, the show was what happened at the end and what they did with Roman. I think a lot of people really wanting to see what they're going to clarify. Is he a face tweener, a heel? And after tonight, we cleared that air, he straight heel. Just how he, the mannerisms, everything he did, calling out somebody, get another ref, get another dang ref down here right now, how he was shooting the ref mug, how he beat them with, and like you said, the nut shots, everything. So I like that. And that shows you that WWE do know how to book. And when we say none of these crazy finishes, the distraction finishes, and save certain type of stuff on the card for certain people. So when you did, you had a bunch of clean finishes, and then you come out and Roman do what he did, it means more when you do it, because you didn't get to see that all night. So we know that they know how to do it. It's just save for certain people, I guess, or certain things, but that's good. I'm glad. And Roman needs this, and I think even Paul Heyman himself needs this. My question to you is, and I know you were talking about some of the people that's been built up, on, especially on the SmackDown side, when you get Matt Riddles and the Big E's, I see that they building up a few different baby faces to come up and probably be fed to Roman in this heel turn, because I don't potentially see, as of right now, neither one of those guys or somebody taking the title off of Roman. I know a lot of people like Big E, and I'm a New Day fan and stuff like that, but I always said I thought Big E, I don't mind his singles push or nothing like that. He just, to me, he always seemed like the main guy of a tag team. But I want to see, and I would like to see the match between him and Roman and see how it goes. I still think Roman should win. I don't see anybody right now who they would got at this moment who could be somebody to beat Roman. So since we have Clash of Champions, who would you think would be, is it one of those two, or do they set up Fiend and take loss? Do they set up that it's Fiend who challenges Roman with this new Harley Quinn, and he's the Joker, and he got Harley Quinn, which is Alexa Bliss, as a tweener role?
I think it's got to be Fiend. They held off doing Roman versus the Fiend on short notice this week. They put Braun Strowman in there to make it a triple threat. They had Braun Strowman lose the fall. So really, Strowman should be out of the title picture. You know, he lost to the Fiend last week. He took the pin in this match. So really, he should be pushed aside for the time being. And it really should be the Fiend versus Roman Reigns one-on-one. Those are your top stars on SmackDown. So they should be the ones in the title picture at Clash of Champions. So to me, that's where it goes. It does afford WWE some more time to build Big E. If Roman Reigns' heel defeats the Fiend at Clash of Champions, then you can start to talk about Big E challenging Roman Reigns in October. I think he's going to be a lot more ready for that spot, and fans are going to be a lot more accepting of him in that spot than if they try to rush him into a top feud with Roman Reigns in September. So I think this was a big step in the right direction for Big E defeating Sheamus, but I think an extra month or two of following this journey with Big E, continuing to rack up big wins over upper card wrestlers, I think will put him in a good position to eventually face Roman Reigns for the title. But I think September is too soon for him, and the story just makes sense to go to the Fiend next.
Yeah, I can see that. Him another week, Bill, and I see that they probably gonna continue on with Matt Riddle. Eventually, I see Roman going all the way to WrestleMania, and the most intriguing person since he has Paul Heyman with it. And if they do potentially turn this guy babyface, they can interweave these stories. And my my guy would be him versus AJ at WrestleMania in a flip-flop of from back in the day when they were feuding on Raw, as in the challenger. Then you can intertwine all those storylines about AJ calling Paul Heyman a liar and stuff like that. And now we got the heel Roman that everybody been asking for a while. So that's my thing I think that it will go to as another way. Now, a second thing I would like to ask you about is we see Keith Lee get the clean win against Roman. He didn't even have to use his main finisher. He used the spirit bomb. So I like what they're doing. I like how I don't like the music. I definitely don't like what they have Keith Lee wearing because I feel like, you know, you got different guys with different bodies. Everybody don't have to have those type of stuff. But I like what they're doing with Keith Lee. I like that they gave him the clean finish. And you can see that it's something that's going to continue to go on. Do you think that this is a way to have a feud, a main feud, on Raw while they have Drew McIntyre off TV for a while and one of those two guys are going to be his challenger at Clash of Champions?
One of what two guys would be challenging McIntyre?
Randy Orton or Keith Lee?
Well, yeah, I think if they're going to keep McIntyre off TV for a while, and I don't know that to be the case. I think they sort of corrected the dire circumstances that they thought McIntyre was in with a cracked skull or whatever the initial diagnosis was on the pre-show. I think I heard them say it was just a jaw injury for Drew McIntyre. So, you know, he may only be out a week or two. I don't know. But yeah, Keith Lee befriending Drew McIntyre and that being the story of his introduction that he's friends with McIntyre certainly allows Lee to be the surrogate for however long, if at all, McIntyre is off TV. And it also would allow in the future Lee to turn on Drew McIntyre down the road and challenge for the title. Now, I think Clash of Champions would be too soon for that to happen. I think that should be deeper in Drew McIntyre's run as champion. And I think it should be deeper in Keith Lee's run as a main roster threat. So, you know, there's still some work to do. There's some tinkering to do. I'd like to see it's always good to portray your champion and your top babyface star as having friends, you know, and we haven't gotten necessarily a lot of that from McIntyre. You know, he's palled around with R-Truth at times and some of the others. But to have a friend the caliber of Keith Lee as it from an in-ring point of view, I think that will help Drew McIntyre's likability too. You know, I don't think that he's not likable by any stretch, but I think this will help and it'll help people embrace him as a babyface to have a friend like Lee. So I could see way down the line Keith Lee turning on him and challenging for the title, but I don't see that anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think they started teasing Keith Lee probably being heel as a way of bit seeing him because they had him interacting with JBL and what JBL was saying and stuff like that. I understand the friends thing, but they've been doing this friend storyline and eventually the friends turn on a person for so long, especially with Bayley and Sasha. And now this whatever they're doing with Shayna and that I don't think they need to we need to get 2 years away before they start doing friends turn on friends storyline ever again and with everything that go on.
Yeah.
Even though you having somebody new doing it, I think it hurts them just because you did it so long with other people. My third thing to you would be I know you were speaking on the best match on the card, which was Ray and Dominic versus Seth and Buddy, but they at the end of that match, they also announced that you're going to get a one-on-one match between Ray and Seth on Monday. That's what they was hyping for, the big match on Monday. So I know you were saying if it all depends on Dominic and he did get the win, but you know they love to throw these obstacles. Remember when Seth turned on the Shield? They had won the night before, and then just in less than 24 hours, he turned on them. My idea of something that they possibly would do, Dominic got the win, yes, but then he, you never see it coming, going to back to what they did a week ago. Dominic turning on Ray that cost Ray his match against Seth, and now he joins with Seth and Buddy. What
well,
do you think
you
about
know, here's
that?
The thing. Here's the thing, though. If Rollins and Murphy were beating Ray and Dominic at every turn, then I can see, you know, Dominic saying, you know, I'm leaving my loser dad behind and I'm joining up with the Messiah, Seth Rollins. But, you know, with Dominic just, you know, getting the pinfall in a match against Rollins and Murphy, to me it doesn't make a lot of sense that he would then join the losers team and get away from his father. So, you know, I think I could have bought it, the idea of Dominic turning heel much earlier in the feud. With every step of the way in which the way we've seen this feud unfold, I think as the weeks go by, it makes less and less sense to me why Dominic would turn. So, yeah, I don't know. Ray versus Seth tomorrow night. I didn't catch the announcers mention that at the end of the show, so thank you, Darrell, for bringing it up. You know, that might be then the final sort of nail in the coffin for this feud, no matter who wins. You know, could they do something where Rollins and Murphy just beat the holy hell out of Dominic? And, you know, that's sort of Dominic's television write-off. That could be the case. You know, the WWE could be confident enough to say, you know, we're going to write him off TV because he's not ready to be a full-time wrestler yet. He's going to go get more training. But given what we've seen of him, we're comfortable bringing him back at some point if we need him in another storyline. So I think there's always that, too. It's really a win-win for WWE to have Dominic, whether they want to use him permanently or whether they want to use him as just sort of a special character here and there. So, I just don't see it, Darrell. I don't see how it would make sense.
Well, it would. It could. It would make sense because that's the win that they got tonight over Buddy Murphy, having pinned Seth Rollins. And you got to go back and look. Throughout this whole rivalry and all the stuff that they've been having with Seth and all the pieces, none of them has never beat Seth. And Seth holds probably about 5 wins over them. This is just one. This is just one that they finally got. He beat him one-on-one. He done beat Ray numerous times one-on-one. He beat, when they had Aleister Black in there, he beat him one-on-one. This is the only time they got a win. With just, and he didn't even get the pin self. He pinned Buddy Murphy. So if Ray loses Monday, because if he wins, it still it feel like the continuation of the story because that would be Ray what first win against Seth and Seth holds through over him already and them put him out. So that was my thinking of the whole thing is because Seth holds so many wins, he didn't get pinned tonight, and if he wins tomorrow, you could say that ends with Ray, or you have Ray chasing trying to convince his son to come back, or you can move along and see how Dominic does under the control of Seth. Just a different loop with the whole situation.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of Dominic as a heel, I guess. You know, he's just – and I said this at the outset, he's just so fun to watch. You know, as a heel, I think a lot of that youthful exuberance is going to be just beaten down, and he's just going to turn into just another wrestler. He's going to turn into Austin Theory, basically, when Theory was part of Rollins' entourage.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'll stand out as much. So, yeah, I'm still against it. You know, I think, Darrell, that you made a case for it, and I applaud you for that, but – I would still not be for the idea of a Dominic turn. But, you know, we'll have to see tomorrow night. A lot can develop with Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins going one-on-one. I hope if Rey wins, they can sort of move on from that and do something else. I think there have been some high points and some low points to this feud, but I think it just kind of feels like we're ready to move on after tomorrow night. So we will see what happens. Darrell, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate your 3 questions here tonight, and I look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yes, sir. You have a good night. And, again, you always doing these great work, especially alone by yourself on these long nights.
Thank you, Darrell. It's a lot of fun getting to see, you know, instant reaction from people via email and phone calls after these pay-per-views. I want to go to an email. We've talked a lot about Roman Reigns. This is an email from Jack from Swansea, Wales. And this was sent actually before the pay-per-view. So we'll see what Jack has to say and what was borne out tonight. He says, hey, Greg, hope all is good with you. Roman Reigns has been one of my favorite wrestlers since he came on the scene with the Shield. I thought he had a cool factor around him whenever he came in with the hot tag and all of the Shield's matches. But as soon as he was made into a single star, he sort of lost that cool factor. I've always said Reigns would be better as a silent badass who has no loyalties to anybody. Seems after watching SmackDown this week, we will have a heel Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman as his advocate, and this has gotten me so intrigued with what direction they go in. For me, Wyatt does not need the title to keep his character interesting, especially if Alexa Bliss does cross over to have some sort of allegiance with Rey. So I think if Rey wins the title this weekend, it can be the best option. Future matchups like Riddle, Hardy, Bryan, and a possible big-time match for Big E. And if The Rock was to ever come back for one more match, could you imagine a Rock versus heel Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in Hollywood next year? Maybe wishful thinking, but this is the most excited I've been about Roman since The Shield. What are your thoughts about a heel Roman and future matchups for him? And he wanted to add another element and said that the Heyman and Reigns partnership, maybe when the Usos are back as a team, maybe they join Reigns with Heyman, as I feel the Usos are a much better act when heels. Says, stay safe and keep up the good work, Jack A. Swansea Wales. Thank you, Jack. The Reigns thing is intriguing. I will say that. There's a lot of different directions they can go. I think Jack enumerated a lot of them, whether it's the potential of a match with The Rock, which just with Rock's schedule just seems so far-fetched. But truly, if The Rock was to ever come back for one more match, I think The Rock versus Roman Reigns would be the match. You got to ask yourself, how does Brock Lesnar fit in? You know, he was Paul Heyman's charge at one point. We've not seen heel Roman Reigns versus whatever Brock Lesnar might be. Is Lesnar going to get jealous that Heyman is now advising Reigns? Is Heyman going to try to balance both of them? What's that relationship like with Lesnar and Reigns? And then, of course, when the Usos come back, they've been very tight at times on screen with Roman Reigns. Are they going to sort of cross over to the dark side, or will they, you know, try to talk some sense into Reigns and maybe Roman Reigns ends up fighting them? So the Reigns heel turn does open up a lot of possibilities for just different stuff with Roman Reigns. And I think the worst thing they could have done was to bring him back with the same look, with the same music, with the same everything, basically being the same person. And they did a lot of that. They brought him back with the same music, basically the same look, but as a heel. So I'll give them credit for that. We'll see where that goes. We've got a 305 up next. That's DJ from Miami. Then we've got a 111 Skype call and then a 573 area code. That's who we've got left. 305 DJ, you are on Wrestling Night America. What did you think of Payback tonight?
It was pretty okay. I got a 3-part question. You can say yes or no on these, and then I got a question, and then I got a 2-part question. Did you see when the belt flashed for the Intercontinental? That was the wrong belt. That was the old belt. I don't know if you saw that. The Roman Reigns thing right before. Okay. Then the second one, real quick, is, did you see right before Roman came out, maybe like a minute or two, the lights flashed? And my last thing is, do you think Wade Barrett's going to stay on commentary, or do you think he's going to go back to NXT and wrestle? And then I'll go to my next question is, when you say yes or no about those two.
Okay, I did not notice the Reigns thing. The lights going out, okay. You know, you can always attribute that to Retribution, which it is kind of weird that Retribution has not caused as much havoc on pay-per-views as they've done on TVs, and I'm not sure if that will play a part in the storyline or not, but they were generally absent tonight. I think Barrett's, you know, for as long as he's on commentary, I think it'll be just commentary. I think it could be a situation like when William Regal did commentary very early on in the NXT days, how he would be drawn out of commentary for a match or two here and there. The same thing could happen to Barrett, but I think he was just kind of brought back for commentary for the time being.
Okay. All the time I was like, wait, what the heck is he doing back? That's all I was asking. And then, okay, going to Keith Lee. Do you think they really did the right thing here? Like, do you think that they should have gave him this win because Randy just came out super fresh, you know, with, you know, I mean, he'd been looking good, and then Like, do you think they should have just did that, or do you think they should have let Randy win and then Kim win and, you know, and then Keith win again? Or do you think this was definitely the right thing and going forward, because we definitely know Drew McIntyre is going to be out for a while, and do you think, like, he's going to put up the belt, or do you think that, like, you guys are saying, like, we're just going to see what happens until Clash? I mean, I feel like this is the right thing, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of, like, optimistic. Like, maybe they should have waited maybe a month and see what he really can do compared to just throw him and give him that straight win. I mean, I understand that he came off of two losses with the belt, and then all of a sudden they gave a great win off Randy, like, straight. I mean, you know what I mean? It was clean. That's what I'm kind of confused on. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I think I'm someone who's always going to err on the side of when you bring up a talent from NXT, especially a talent as talented with as much potential as Keith Lee, you put them over. You know, and WWE has a dearth of stars at the top of the card on both Raw and SmackDown. So the last thing you want to do with a guy like Keith Lee, who does have so much potential, is to 50-50 him to death as soon as he gets on the main roster. Put him over strong, and Randy Orton can afford a loss. Orton, and I talked about this with Sheamus earlier, Orton is a legacy type of star who can afford a loss, and he's not going to be hurt in the eyes of fans by it. Keith Lee is in his very formative stages of being a main roster member. This is the first time a lot of Raw viewers are getting a look at Keith Lee. So if you want him to be a major player, you have to treat him like one. How do you treat him like one? You put him over, and that's what they did tonight. They put him over. They put him over strongly. They put him over decisively. Now, this could all go awry if WWE decides to do an Orton versus Lee rematch tomorrow night and have Orton go over, or do Orton versus Lee at Clash of Champions and have Orton go over, and then we're back to kind of square one. But to me, I'm going to give WWE the benefit of the doubt tonight and say they did the right thing, and they're going to continue doing the right thing by Keith Lee and continuing to put him over as a major star.
I just wish they would just change his ring gear and his music. Then I think he would be more respected. Going off that, I guess we'll go to Roman. Oh, boy. I like where this is going. I mean, we talked about this months ago, but the problem is this: how far can he go with Paul? He can't cuss. He still does, you know, the things, the kid things. No heel can get over like that if he's still doing the kid thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he definitely needs a mouthpiece, okay? But the problem is he can't do what people want him to do because of the kid thing. It's like Cena. It's like, how awesome would it be when Cena comes back and has a beard and he's with Paul Heyman? I mean, that would be the bomb, but that can never happen, you know? I feel like this is kind of like a dream, but I feel like maybe Paul Heyman can be, like, on the outskirts, and maybe he can have a fashion, like, or something, like, and then have a mouthpiece then, because where's he going to be when Paul Heyman's not there? He's just going to talk for himself and then mess everything up. I mean, you know, where Paul Heyman's, you know, well, that's all Paul Heyman does. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, how far this can really go. You understand what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I like where it is, but the problem is that he needs people with him, or he needs Paul Heyman 24 hours a day, and that's never going to happen compared to what they want him to do, because Paul Heyman's not going to be there all the time holding his hand, and he's not going to – he knows not to be – he, like you said, 50-50. There's no way he's going to be a straight heel because of what he does for children's and all that other stuff. And, you know, there's – you know, I don't think that's really going to happen. What do you think is going to happen, like – do you think this is going to just last till WrestleMania and then something else is going to happen? Or do you really think that we should give him a fashion and that would really help him as, like, a really okay heel for now and see what happens and see if Vince likes it. You know what I mean? Like, something needs to happen. I mean, it'd be great if he can do it, but we can't go all the way.
I am interested to see how far Roman leans into being a heel because, you know, you mentioned a lot of the Make-A-Wish stuff he does, a lot of the stuff he does that he's taken over kind of for John Cena, the WWE's lead babyface throughout the years. Now, some of that is curtailed a bit by the pandemic. You know, he's not going out and meeting Make-A-Wish kids anymore with the pandemic. So if there was ever a time to try Roman Reigns as a heel, now would be the time. But how far does he go, I think, is a valid question. Is he sort of more a tweener heel? Does he really go all the way? We see the sneering tonight, obviously, the low blow to the Fiend, the entering the match as it's going on, the pairing with Paul Heyman. So WWE is lining up a lot of heel tropes to help prop up heel Roman Reigns in the very early stages, but I don't think we'll get a good sense until he wrestles a full-on match as a heel, until he or Paul Heyman cuts a full-on promo for him to really get the lay of the land on how much he's going to lean into being a heel.
Okay. So do you think, like, how about a fashion for him? Do you feel like that would be a good thing for him when Paul Heyman can't be there all the time? Or do you think, like, you know, like you were saying, if Big E's going to be coming up, then move like to a maybe, and they're going to break up. Maybe he should have like a guy or two guys behind him or something. If Paul Heyman is not going to be there, and that will definitely make him more of a heelish. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with the Fiend and Braun Strowman. You know, I kind of posited that Strowman's heelish tendencies could line up with the Fiend unless the Fiend is going babyface. And I don't think you want, you know, two factions at the top of the card like that. You know, I would completely rule it out of hand that Reigns will lead some sort of faction on SmackDown. I have a hard time off the top of my head imagining who would be a part of it. And really, I think Reigns as a sort of a lone wolf heel, of course, with Paul Heyman, is probably the better way to go. Instead of lining up people to be his subordinates.
Okay, I got one more monkey wrench. We have, don't we have the thing coming up, the trades? Aren't we going to trade soon? Don't we have that coming up too?
October is the next rumored, and it may have even been confirmed by Triple H in a conference call, the superstar shakeup.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, so you think Paul Heyman and him are not going to go over there to Raw as a heel? I mean, they're going to have to stay on SmackDown. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what happens if that happens? Then that's going to really fail. If Vince, like, well, let me throw him over there and let's see if he can swim over there being a heel. Like, yeah, I hope that won't happen. You know what I'm saying? Because that's another thing we need to worry about, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Superstar Shake-Up coming up in October, a lot of our plans that we're talking about for months out, whether it's Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre, whatever the case may be, that could be sort of shook up, as it were, by the Superstar Shake-Up. So it's best, you know, when we talk about long-term booking and long-term plans, maybe not to look too far into the future because
that
Superstar Shake-Up can really affect a lot of things.
That's what I'm saying. I'm scared it's because there's also so many obstacles, but there's also so many good things could fall in the right place. So it's so hard to tell. But also it's Vince.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see on this, but I'll definitely see you Saturday.
Okay, DJ. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks.
Got a few more calls on the line. We'll go to an email first, however. This is from Chris in Reading, PA. Apparently, he got over the idea that Roman Reigns would enter a match with it going on to enough anyway to send a follow-up email. I said, "Hi, Chris again. I have to say I love the way they let Shayna dominate at the end of that match. I have no idea what they'll do with her, but I think she should be running roughshod over the division." I think that's the general feeling I have too. Asuka and Shayna Baszler on top on Raw, plus Sasha Banks intermixed in there. You've got Natalya, who is sort of in this, I guess, tag team with Lana, or this partnership with Lana, I should say. But Natalya is someone who you can put up at the top of the division at times. Nia Jax is there. So, you know, there are some pieces on Raw that could be moved around into different spots. And I think maybe the long-term play, once we get done with this tag team championship reign of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, is Shayna Baszler coming out of this more of a top star than she was going in? At least that's the hope. Another email, this one from Brian. It says, Brian from Phoenix, senior PW Torch VIP subscriber. Ooh, wow, that is an important billing. He says, hey, Greg, while there was good debate on having Payback so close after SummerSlam, I thought this was an overall good show. No bad matches. Love the Alexa Bliss cameo, playing with her since playing with her dreadlocks. We tend to forget that Bliss and Nikki Cross have been friends since May 2019. We assumed Bliss would turn on Cross quickly. Who says WWE can't book long-term storylines? Question, what's next for Alexa Bliss? Thanks and stay safe. Thank you, Brian. I was one of those people who thought that Alexa was going to turn on Nikki Cross in very short order. So I've really been thrilled to see the relationship between Alexa and Nikki progress as it has for well over a year now, because it does make it more impactful when Alexa does something simple as smashing their friendship coffee mug on SmackDown. You know, if that had been done 2 weeks after she gave her the mug, no one cares. But because it happened a year after she got the mug, all of a sudden, you know, that's a big deal. So I don't know what's next with Bliss. I think Nikki will continue to try to talk some sense into her, whether that leads to a full-on Alexa versus Nikki feud, or Alexa just sort of goes with Braun or The Fiend. I don't know. And I think that's the really intriguing aspect of it. She is obviously under some sort of spell. She is not herself, not in her right mind, but, you know, how far does that control go if, in fact, The Fiend does have that control over? So this is one of those, I'm just along for the ride. I'm really interested to see where they go with this. Next is the 111 area code. This is a Skype or international call. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Craig from Toledo.
Hey, Craig. Welcome to the show. What'd you think of Payback tonight?
I loved it. I loved it way more than I did SummerSlam. It was probably one of the better pay-per-views that I've seen in, like, a couple of years. I was really impressed by, when they went through the whole, they were going through the whole, the card, and I'm like, all right, this is really cool. This is really good. This is a really good show. They're going to screw it up. I know they're going to screw it up. And they didn't. It ended up like everything they did was right. And I'm pretty confident that I've seen a couple polls out there, like 66 to 33 or whatever. But like, I think a lot of people agree. And from what everybody's calling about, it seems that's the general consensus, that everybody seems to be on the same page as far as that. The you pretty much exhausted everything I was already going to talk about, but did you happen to watch the pre-show?
I saw the last 5 minutes of it, which is 5 minutes more than I generally watch. So I did see that.
All right. Well, the Riot Squad had a match with the Iconics. And they were both dressed in they had a similar ring gear, which is something that's missing in a lot of tag teams nowadays, especially like thrown together tag teams. And I really like their gear was the same. And the Riot Squad went over, and it usually doesn't happen on the pre-show where there's like kind of like an angle, but Ruby Riot hit Liv Morgan. And it seemed like that might be like the, oh, here's the breakup or something like that, but that didn't happen. Liv trusted Ruby. Or no. Yeah. Liv trusted Ruby and stayed in the match, which is something you really don't see that much in WWE storytelling. And I thought that was really cool. That it was just a good setup for the rest of the show, as far as, like, yeah. I'm saying, the storytelling-wise. Like, they kind of almost did a perfect pay-per-view tonight.
And, Craig, I think that's what's so frustrating to fans who really want to embrace WWE product. I mean, it's the worldwide leader, you know. They put shows on like this, and to some extent SummerSlam, where I think they were a little they did a better job in their finishes than I think it was the Extreme Rules, the pay-per-view before SummerSlam, where they were just like completely untethered to reality in the way they booked finishes. And they got a lot of flack from that. They got a lot of negative feedback from that. And they seemed to sort of course correct with SummerSlam for the most part, and most definitely with Payback tonight. The frustrating thing is, as a fan, you've seen this movie before. You know that either on TV in the coming weeks or a review or two, it'll be right back to doing dumb finishes in the name of storytelling. And you just kind of throw your hands up and say, you know, you did it. You know how to do it the right way. You got positive reaction for doing it the right way, and yet they still can't help themselves. And they'll do it again. They'll have a show like Extreme Rules again, probably sooner rather than later. And I think that's a lot of the frustration with fans. And you're seeing fans being run off from television and from, you know, in the ratings and things like that. And I think that's a big part of it. Just there's no internal logistical consistency with a lot of what WWE does. If they put more shows on like Payback with those kinds of finishes, And not just the finishes, but the right people going over in most of these matches. That's kind of subjective, but to me, it was the right people going over in most of these matches. I think you'd see fans be more willing to embrace the WWE product on a more consistent basis.
And that's what, as you were talking, all I kept thinking was the word barometer. Big E used the word barometer when he was talking about, like, how he deals with whether he goes left or right. He has an internal barometer. And I thought that was a great line when he was on Talking Smack. I don't know if you heard it. It was on Talking Smack, and then they replayed it a couple times during the show tonight. But it's like he has that internal barometer to decide what's the best move. And right now they're making the right moves and they're putting the right people over and they're doing it in the right way. Like that Keith Lee thing tonight, I did not see that coming. And
yeah,
like, I mean, everything they did tonight was right. And I'm just hoping that they have, because I like watching wrestling, you know, I like watching these shows. And
yeah,
to see these finishes and these people getting pushed in the right way is, I mean, that makes me want to watch it and not like
tune out.
Like I've tuned out a lot in the last couple months because of different things, but it was really cool tonight to see like pretty much everything I would do as a booker pretty much go down the way I would do it. And so that was really cool. The last thing I have for you, and I'll let you go. I don't want you to stay up too late.
Thanks.
the New Japan stuff. Did you catch any of that?
I have been behind on my New Japan stuff. It's tough. I'm getting back in the swing of things with school. Tomorrow's the first day with kids. Yeah. And the last 2 weeks we've been in school. So it's kind of been off my radar lately.
Okay. Well, just to fill you in, all the days seem to be blending together. they did the live commentary for the first time since the pandemic, and it was Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton, and they were doing it from different countries, and it was perfect. It was lined up. It was timed right. They sounded amazing, and they just did an awesome job. So I'm really looking forward to the G1 coming up this month. And that's all I have for you, Greg. And good luck with school and stuff. And,
all right,
you're one of the few heroes we have left.
Thanks. Wow, geez. I appreciate that, Craig. Thank you very much. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things work. I don't think anyone has an idea of just what's going to happen when we go back tomorrow, but fingers are crossed that everything works out. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to hear. New Japan is back doing the live commentary. Obviously, we've had NXT where Mauro Ranallo and Beth Phoenix and Tom Phillips have done commentary for a long time in three different locations, and they've made it pretty seamless, I'd say, especially after the first few weeks where there was a little trouble with them stepping on each other. But they've done a really good job, and man, it's hard to believe the G1 is coming up. It doesn't feel like it. I think it's kind of like, you know, the NFL season is coming up in 2 weeks, like 2 weeks from now, I think is when the NFL season kicks off. And it's hard to believe. It doesn't feel like it's coming, even though the NFL is one of the seasons that didn't get pushed back or anything like that. They're starting on time very close to on time. So it's even weirder that it's, still doesn't feel like it's really that close to happening. But, we'll have to see. We got one more phone call. 573 is on deck. We got an email here first, though. This is from Tim, a VIP member from Erie, PA. And if you're not a VIP member, you're hearing all these emails that people are VIP member, VIP member. What does that mean? VIP member of PWTorch.com. If you are not a VIP member, please, PWTorch.com/GoVIP. You get all the details, everything that's included with the VIP membership, all kinds of audio, daily audio updates, and a number of them on any number of topics from Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, Sean Radican, all of the columnists. Zach Haydorn does a great job. Alan Cunahan, Rich Fan, Travis Bryant. We have a whole lineup of audio folks who do an absolutely tremendous job, not to mention the Torch newsletter, not to mention all the other perks that come with being a VIP member. So if you're not, pwtorch.com/govip. Anyway, back to Tim's email. He says, "Hey, Greg, WWE did it again. They sucked me in for $9.99, and this is the match that I get. I restarted my WWE subscription after I saw the angle between Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. For the first time in years, I was really excited to see a Roman Reigns match, and this is what we get. WWE has mastered the smoke and mirrors concept, and I got suckered in for another $9.99. What a lousy return match." That's kind of the feeling that I've gotten. Hopefully the rest of the show, Timothy, was worth your $9.99. Maybe, I guess, not necessarily if you were specifically spending that money to look at for a Roman Reigns match. But lucky you will probably get Clash of Champions in your one-month subscription, where you will likely see a more lengthy Roman Reigns match, likely against The Fiend. So there is still hope for that $9.99 to be worth it. We go back to the phone with the 573 area code. 573, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg. It's Quentin from Columbia, Missouri.
Hey, Quentin. Welcome to the show. What did you think of Payback Night?
Hey, man. I just wanted to say I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I just had a couple statements and a question. One, sure. The Roman Reigns thing, like, I feel like the heel turn has been so fast and so good that people are hating him and not knowing why they want to hate him now. Like, they're mad that he signed the contract halfway through the match. They're mad because he wasn't in the match and came in at the very end. Like, I just feel like it's so great. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, there was somebody on social media who said, you know, WWE missed out on the biggest pop of Roman Reigns' career when he would have come out. You know, if there were fans in the stands, if he would have come out tonight the way he did and winning the match, just because, you know, a certain segment of the fans have been just craving a Roman Reigns heel turn. And you can imagine that a large portion of the live fan base would have embraced a Roman Reigns heel turn and all of a sudden cheered him. So it would have gotten the opposite reaction WWE desired, but it still would have made for an electric atmosphere. So, yeah, the heel turn so far has been, you know, there hasn't been a lot to it, to be honest with you. So it's hard to say, and without knowing Roman's motivations and explanations for it, it's hard to give too much credit to it. But if they want to keep stringing along before they give that explanation, because Roman Reigns' heel turn is a big deal. You know, it is.
Yeah.
He was the top babyface for years. And I think it's kind of smart for WWE not to immediately have Roman Reigns cut that, you know, heel in-ring promo, you fans don't deserve an explanation, or whatever the case may be. I kind of like that they're stringing along, making us speculate.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's still surreal just watching everything unfold the way it's unfolding. It's like I keep waiting for him to pull the rug out from under me and say, nah, he's going to just be a baby face and run all over again. But I like it. And my second thing was, I just wanted to say, watching that Keith Lee Randy Orton match, can we like just start talking about Randy Orton as one of the greatest of all time, like legitimately? Because the way he put Keith Lee over in that match, the way he made him look like a freaking superstar from beginning to end, it just shows his maturity, and it just shows how great he really is. And that's the last thing
I agree. Yeah, thank you, Quentin. I appreciate you being a longtime listener, and I thank you for calling in. We always like to hear from new voices here, and mixed in with the voices we hear often. You know, we like to hear those as well. So I thank you for calling in tonight. Yeah, I think that Orton, and I said this on Twitter as the match finished, I said Orton deserves a lot of credit for that match. He made Lee look very good, and he was in a position where if he was – the Randy Orton from 10, 15 years ago, he may have sandbagged Keith Lee, and he may have, you know, been upset about having to do a job and having to do a job to a new guy. So, you know, there could have been attitude issues at play, but he was a professional tonight. And I struggle with Thornton as an all-time great just because there are long swaths of his career where he was just mediocre, and he was just – you always got the feeling, whether it was on the mic or in a match, that he was going through the motions and he was on autopilot. And you've seen lately, though, the level that he can kick it up to when he is motivated. And he has been motivated lately, so he gets credit for that. So, you know, he'll be an all-time great just in the lore of WWE for his longevity and for the major storylines, the major championships he's been involved with. People on the outside, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, but you know, he's still got some time at the end of his career to make up a little bit for those times years ago where he seemed to feel like he could just go out there and coast on his name. And you know, it's good to see that even at his age now, when he could really do that, given his age and name value, that he's not. He's going out and he's putting on some of the best performances, quite frankly, of his career right now, which is really cool to see. Another email before we go to the AEW All Out preview. This is an earlier email from Roy from California earlier in the week. He says, "Hello, hope all is well. My question is, do you think there's a disconnect fans believe are stars and who WWE believes are stars? History shows WWE favors more of the larger-than-life characters with passable wrestling skills, whereas fans seem to gravitate to work rate and don't care for character development. At least in my opinion, I've seen a lot of backlash for Cross winning the NXT title, which is fine, as everyone has their opinion, but I think his character is the type of character that usually thrives in WWE and stands out for me in NXT compared to everyone else. I do think Keith Lee got a raw deal, but I honestly think he's a favorite to win the 2021 Rumble and challenge for the world title at Mania. Do think they might change his look some. Anyway, thanks for taking my email. I'm interested in your thoughts. Yeah, sure. I think there's a disconnect, with the most obvious being Daniel Bryan. You know, fans saw him as a star long before WWE did, and WWE basically had to be dragged kicking and screaming into acknowledging that Daniel Bryan is a star. With Killer Cross or Karrion Cross, I think fans were more upset about Keith Lee's title reign being so short than they were about Cross winning. But I think Lee being promoted to the main roster right after sort of assuages some of those concerns. And I think fans are a little more, and Cross isn't even champion now. He's to forfeit the title on TV on Wednesday. So it's kind of a moot point in some ways, but I think looking back in hindsight, fans will be a little more forgiving of Cross winning that title, knowing what it led to for Keith Lee. So, you know, I think that's the case there. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who were behind Cross for exactly what Roy said in his email, that he just is different from a lot of people in NXT, and fans are willing to put up with a guy who might be a level below what they're used to in NXT main events if he has a character and he carries himself in a believable manner. So I think Cross passed in some circles, not all circles. You obviously have people who care about work rate above everything else, but that's I think Cross is – I don't think it's as bad as Roy makes it out as far as the backlash to Cross. I think that there's still a lot of people who support that character. We have another phone call, 773. I'll get to that right after I preview All Out here. Again, next Saturday night is All Out, AEW's pay-per-view. We're going to be doing a special Wrestling Night in America after All Out on Saturday, so we won't be on the air next Sunday. So make sure to set your watches accordingly for that. We have John Moxley versus MJF in a AEW championship match. Moxley will not be able to use the paradigm shift. Moxley, actually, this coming week, will be facing MJF's lawyer on TV. So the build continues to that one. Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy in a Mimosa Mayhem match. This is a match that has gotten a lot of reaction, both positive and negative from fans about the concept of this match at All Out. So we'll have to see how it ensues. Omega and Paige take on FTR for the tag titles. That should be a good one. FTR now with Tully Blanchard at their side. Hikaru Shida takes on Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship. Thunder Rosa, the NWA Women's Champion. Obviously that company is not putting on shows right now. So NWA, apparently, Billy Corgan loaning Thunder Rosa to AEW, who, if it's a short-term thing, great. If it's a long-term thing, great. I think her presence only helps the visibility of the AEW women's division. We have the 21-man casino battle royale for a future AEW title shot down the line. The Dark Order takes on Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, Dustin Rhodes, and QT Marshall in an 8-man tag match. And then we have the winners of Private Party and SoCal Uncensored versus Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks. That's a match that's going to take place on the September 2nd Dynamite. The winners of that match will take on each other in tag team action at All Out. So those are the matches we'll be talking about next Saturday night here on Wrestling Night in America. 773 area code, you are on Wrestling Night in America tonight. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Seven-seven-three. You're on the air. Hello. 773.
Boris in Chicago.
Boris, did you fall asleep on me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Boris. Hello.
No, I think I'm having trouble with my phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can. Yeah,
I can hear you, Boris.
The beta operating system. You can't hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
Oh, my bad. No, I decided to put the beta version of the operating system on my iPhone, so I don't know. Sometimes be acting up. But I think this is still the Roman Reigns show, no matter what they put in front of you, you know what I'm saying? They'll drag on anything until they get back to what they want. So we're back to
well, Boris,
putting, now
you know,
we're putting,
It wasn't the Roman.
So now he's a Heyman guy, so they're going to use that. So I guess how many more years we'll get with the Roman Reigns show?
Forrest, you didn't call in once when it was not the Roman Reigns show for months. And now when Roman Reigns comes back and wins the title, all of a sudden Boris shows up to complain about Roman Reigns. Boris, where were you when Roman Reigns was gone? Were you enjoying the Roman Reigns free wrestling?
No, it was still it was dead then. WWE's dead, has always been dead. I stopped watching. I just listened to you guys, and I can watch the, you know, if it's something that I just want to see just to confirm something, I can go on YouTube or Twitter. And like I say, wrestling right now with me, I'm watching New Japan. They just got back. They did it correctly. They took the time off. Came back, they got the crowds. You know, they're working a different way than these companies over here. I'm very disappointed with both companies, AEW and WWE. You know, now we got these little glass, I guess, TV people or whatever you want to call it. It looked terrible. It looked terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really call in. I just wanted to, you know, say that about the Roman Reigns. But the actual show that they're putting on now, it looks terrible. I wish they would have took the time off, give these people some rest or whatnot, and then took the time and came back correctly and brought back a real audience so we could see if who is over or how people really are reacting. Because right now we just got puppet screens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Well, Boris, it's good to hear from you anyway. It's been a while.
They look like puppet screens. What do you think about that?
I guess. I mean, to me, it's better than nothing. It's better than having the trainees pounding on the
Evil
plexiglass and stuff like that. So, you know, to me, it's the best of a lot of bad options, I guess, so far that we've seen from WWE. Obviously, we'd love to see fans back in the stands.
Yeah, that was terrible.
But, yeah. All right. So, I mean, like I said, it's the best of a lot of bad options
right
now.
Absolutely.
And that's just what every company is dealing with in the United States.
Out of here. My cat wants to join the show. But no,
I could hear it in the background.
To, you know, get on and hear your voice live. I mean, I really just miss how the podcast used to be live. That's the really part, the interaction between us. Huh? Yeah, I shoot him. Cuz he just came in and started fussing. I moved away so he wouldn't be so close. And then he just kept following. Well, I just miss, you know, our interacting mostly. I just listen to everybody now, but I really miss the old days. Sometimes I even listen to a new one of the flashback shows just to hear everybody, you know, because it was a real fun time, you know, during the era of John Cena and all that. And I miss Caldwell, you know, I miss all the way it was. I know Wade has to update and add new people and change the formats and stuff, but I always think about how we all got together, you know, how the shows used to be and now how they are now, where everybody's inside, you know, from the COVID and stuff like that, and, you know, people have to actually do things from home. Now we all stuck at home, so I mean, we just don't have the interaction like we used to back when, you know, before we had to change the formats and switch people around and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to catch, you know, everybody that you used to listen to live, you know. So that's why I really called it, just to, you know, just sit and let you know I'm still here. You know, the wrestling is doing the same thing, but I really miss our camaraderie on the live call-in shows. And that's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you, Boris. It was good to hear from you again.
I fixed the lag on your phone, I think, because it was obviously the update is you know, whatever. But, yeah, good to hear from Boris. You know, Roman Reigns, yes, it is still the Roman Reigns show. At least it's a different Roman Reigns, I guess. That's a positive. So we'll go to our last phone call tonight, the 440 area code, 440. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Greg? This is Dom again from Cleveland. I called last week. I was wondering if you knew last week when my big payoff was coming. And, you know, since then, that was before we got the new Heyman guy and Roman Reigns, which I think is awesome. And now I'm wondering if you could help me understand, does this make it more likely that Roman Reigns could be the leader of Retribution or less likely now that he's aligned with Paul Heyman? And I do think it's interesting how, I think it was mentioned earlier in the show, how they don't seem to have much of a pay-per-view presence. And I don't know if that's just because it's just too expected or what, but I don't know. I'll keep it short because I know it's getting late. So, yeah, I mean, do you think that's a better or worse chance now that we see a Roman Reigns emerge as the leader here?
I think it's worse because I think you want one leader of Retribution, one alpha, and by putting Reigns together with Heyman, you'd ultimately get two leaders of Retribution. Unless you just make the Retribution group so big, there needs to be two people at the head to kind of run every part of it. But I get less and less confident as the weeks go on that Retribution is even going to be like a major thing going forward. You know, part of me thinks it was just kind of thrown out there to get people talking and to try to artificially drum up ratings. So if there is a leader revealed, which I'm not even confident that's ever going to take place, but I don't think it will be someone the level of a Roman Reigns or even a Paul Heyman.
I hear you. And, you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised given this is WWE. They just dropped the whole storyline next week, for all we know, just like another hacker or something like that, the SmackDown Live hacker.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I hear you on the inside for sure. Again, I'm hopeful, wishful thinker here. So thanks, man. Love the show.
Yeah.
You know, glad that we have something to watch, given the circumstances. So thanks for keeping up the great work.
Yeah, thank you, Dom. Always appreciate you calling in and giving your thoughts. And same for everybody. Last 2 weeks has been really wild. We've got seven phone calls for last week, seven phone calls for this week. And, you know, there were times in the last few months where pay-per-views would come and go and we'd get two or three callers. And so I really appreciate, you know, this is especially the shows after the pay-per-views. This is a caller and an emailer dictated show. You know, I don't have a co-host who I can bounce stuff off of on these pay-per-view post shows. So you guys really drive the discussion, and to see people show up in droves the last few weeks to help me out here has been just tremendous, whether it's new callers, whether it's, our old friends that we hear from each week. I love them all. And, hope you'll join me again next Saturday night after AEW All Out. Love to hear from everybody again. Don't forget, when you're watching All Out, have your phone handy, have your laptop handy. Email me, wnialivecast@gmail.com, if you can't stay up and ask questions by calling in. So we've reached the end here. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. I hope that you do. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and we'll talk to you next week, because if it's Saturday next week, remember, it's Wrestling Night in America.